Blog Talk Radio.
And it is 10:30 p.m. And if you are listening to the smoothness of my voice, which I'm actually running low on comparisons to, then that can only mean one thing, that you are on live on the greatest neo-soul show on the web, powered by x2thel.com. I'm the one and only Q-Man, and along with my partner T-Mitch, we are about to deliver to you 60 minutes neo-soulgasm. What's going on, man?
I'm feeling good. You know, it's been almost a month since I have been able to speak with our listeners and talk to our family about something neo-soul related, man. I feel like I've been away for so long. How's everything, man? Is the house still in order?
Yeah, man. We hanging in there, man. How's everything with you?
Well, you know, man, you know, I missed the first show because I was out in the city, you know, scoping out talent. I was down in the Bowery District listening to some up-and-coming neo-soul artists, and then they mentioned that Macklemore was at the Garden, so we ended up at the Garden, and that was amazing. And shout-out to Carissa, the violin diva. I did catch the end of a very good interview, I must say. Q-Man was her. That was fun. Shout out to Terry Tobin for stepping in for me so eloquently in my absence. It's just been a lot. And then after that, obviously, you know, Thanksgiving is my all-time favorite holiday. It's the only holiday that is not commercialized in some economical way. It's just
it's
about
getting
the food and family. I don't see it. I don't pay attention to commercials. It's just the food and the family. And even though sometimes the family gets on my nerve, they make up for it with the food. So I love Thanksgiving. And last week we had some technical difficulties. Shout out to the Mighty Ox for stepping in and helping us out and you know, playing music for us on the show, because I was unable to be on air because I was in transit to family for Thanksgiving. So big shout out to him. How was Thanksgiving for you?
Oh, it was great, man. I mean, you know, just another day to work, but other than that, it was great. A lot of eating.
Right. You still got leftovers? Because we don't have any in my house.
Nah, man, there's no leftovers. Come on.
I'm trying to partake of different people's Thanksgiving experiences, like, to make my Thanksgiving experience that much better.
Good
like,
luck finding
this
late in the game.
Y'all just don't get it. There is a fat person trapped inside me, and every November, I just get extremely happy. Like, I love this holiday in ways that I cannot explain to you guys. So, I had an absolutely great time, and I'm very excited to be back tonight to begin to make up for lost time, and we're going to, you know, bring you guys a Wednesday Rewind. We didn't get a chance to do that with you for the month of November, so we got a really, really good one lined up tonight. I'm still sending text messages and tweets out to everybody, because the one thing that I don't like is when you have, you know, our faithful and loyal listeners communicate to us and say, oh my God, I can't believe I missed that show. So I'm trying to let everybody know who we're spotlighting tonight so that we don't have that issue, because this one transcends, you know, time and age gaps and any other difference that we normally have on the show. So we're going to have a real good time tonight.
Well, looking forward to that.
Before we get into all of that, there were some things that I wanted to talk about. You know, the Q-Man and I like to go back and forth about our favorite football teams. Normally, this is an easy conversation because the Giants would be leading the division and both of our teams would suck. But
yeah,
we're kind of in this lost space right now where we don't really know how to deal with each other because Dallas and Philly are both tied for first place in the NFC East. So there are times when I want to send him a text message, and then I see that Philly won, and so I don't send a text message. And I'm pretty sure that there are times that that goes the other way, where it's like he wants to see how I'm doing, and then Dez Bryant will catch a touchdown, and it's like, do I really want to talk to him right now? So
yeah,
we're kind of in this weird place right now with both of our teams being tied in first place and have one more game coming up, which I think you said on air and it's recorded that you were going to make sure that the next time they play, we were going to get together and do this football thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to watch the game together. We're going to each wear our paraphernalia and things like that.
Absolutely. You know what's making it difficult is, as good as both teams are playing, you know only one team is going to make the playoffs. The other one's not.
I don't know. I really don't know that. And I, the reason I don't know that is because the Saints showed me on Monday night that they're not as invincible as I thought they were.
Mm.
Which to me kind of says Carolina may be able to beat them twice. And if Carolina's able to beat them twice and we both keep playing the way we're playing, there's a very good chance that the NFC East could get some teams in. Green Bay is about the bottom is falling out of Green Bay. I don't know what's going on in Chicago. Detroit just always seems like 1 minute they want to win the division and then they remember that they play in Detroit and just stop playing. So, to be honest, 2 weeks ago I would have agreed with you if there was only going to be one team, but now I'm not too sure about that. Like the 49ers.
Who y'all got this week?
Who do we have? We got Chicago, which could be a shootout. Oh. Their defense is horrible.
Yeah.
So you know, if we win, we good, man.
Yeah, we play you guys the last game of the season,
which would be very, very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's something to look into. It might be for everything. I know my fantasy football, everybody that's doing fantasy football, big shout out to everybody that made the playoffs. Good luck next year to everybody else that, you know, found out you're not as great of a GM as you thought you were. I am in the playoffs in all three of the leagues that I am in. Shout out to Tink's Touchdowns, who's in first place in our NFL league at 11-1. Tink's Touchdowns.
That's not who it sounds like, is it?
That is exactly who it sounds like. He's 11-1 and in first place in the league. I think I'm going to have to play her in the first round of the playoffs. So I've been on the waiver wire. I am doing what I need to do because Calvin Johnson, Reggie Bush, and Drew Brees have just been carrying her team all season long. So, you know, I'm going to do what I can do to get a victory for mankind.
Two things that I want to mention and definitely hear what you say about him.
All right.
First, Paul Walker.
That was next on my list. Let me tell you. First off, I want to give a not-so-positive yet not-so-negative shout-out to every person. And I had an adjective lined up for you, but I have since been told that even though it's a nice word, the context that I was using it in was very derogative, so I'm not going to say it. To all of you, quote unquote, this is my air quotes, fans who think that Paul Walker is only known for the Fast and the Furious movies, I say to you, please Google that actor see the philanthropy that that actor has been a part of, and please see that he was a known star before he and Vin Diesel got in cars and driving. So, with that said, I was shocked. When the person called me and said to me, "Oh my God, did you just hear that Paul Walker died in a car crash?" I will not lie to you. The first thing that I said was, "Wow, how ironic is that? Because he spent most of his time driving recklessly in a car, that he would die not being the driver in a car accident." And I always say, God is not without a sense of irony. But I'm a great actor. I know the first time I saw Paul Walker was he was the quarterback in Varsity Blues that got injured before James Van Der Beek came in. And then he became the coach at the end of the movie. Varsity Blues is a good movie.
You're an animal.
Skulls. What did you say? Yes,
you're an animal for remembering that.
Oh, yeah, man, that's my movie, man. I loved him in that movie. I like any movie where the players rise up against the coach. So I love Varsity Blues. I remember him in Skulls. And there's a couple of other movies that I know he's in that I can't even tell you the titles of them, but I liked him in those movies. So that was one of the reasons I went to see The Fast and the Furious. I am not a Vin Diesel fan. I've never been a Vin Diesel fan. I think the Chronicles of Riddick were ridiculous. I went because I know who Paul Walker is. That man is a very good actor. I think if you had to put him in a category, he's the Robin Thicke of acting. He's that white guy that's cool enough that he can chill with black people. And I like him. I like Paul Walker. I really do. That is a loss. Man, that is a loss. I don't think people truly understand how big of a loss in that entertainment field that is, but that is a big, big loss. And our condolences definitely go out to his family, and I'm already researching, like I said, the philanthropy, and I know he has a foundation that's out that I know now the proceeds of all of the movies that are sold, like for Final Fantasy VI DVD and 7, 8, and 9 that they already signed on to do. I know a lot of those movies, the money for those movies is going to his charities and his foundation. I'm already looking into seeing, like, you know, what I can donate, things of that nature, but that was very, very shocking. I always expect men in film to, like, be like Sean Connery and literally, like, 70-something years old, or Humphrey Bogart and those guys. So, very, very shocked. 40 years old and gone.
Crazy.
So.
Crazy, man. So, yeah, I was a big fan of his also. Very, very tough. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Did you know that they cast the actress who will play Wonder Woman today?
No, I heard rumors that that was going to be done today, but I did not hear that it was officially done.
Yes, in the upcoming Batman Superman movie, Wonder Woman will be in it.
Okay, that's big enough in and of itself that they're finally going to give her, like, not some little cameo or some rumor role, but she's actually going to be a part of one of those franchises. That's big enough itself.
And ironically, she is a woman from the Fast and Furious franchise.
Is it Michelle Rodriguez?
No.
Oh my God, that would make my dreams come true.
There's never going to be a Spanish Wonder Woman.
Okay. So who has been blessed and given the opportunity to play Wonder Woman?
Okay, now don't fight me because I don't know this woman's name, okay?
Okay.
But you know that Israeli woman that was dating the Asian guy.
Right, the one that, yeah, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
The tall, skinny one.
Yeah, I can see that.
Really?
I can see that. Yeah, because she's supposed to be, not in this, okay, I can see it because she is supposed to be, like, Amazonish, and she has that figure of being, like, real tall, and we already see her as this domineering, strong female. I can kind of see that. You couldn't see it, huh? Yeah, I definitely see it. I see it. And you know what? It's funny. She kind of looks like the way they created the character in the video game that has all of the superhero characters in it. that's escaping my mind at the moment. She looks a lot like the way they created Wonder Woman, the character in that game.
Now, when you say that, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. They are gonna have to, like, she's gonna have to have her hair down and things like that. But yeah, shout out to Terry Tobin in the chat room, gave us her name, Gal Gadot. Yeah, they're gonna have to change her look a little bit. Gonna have to let her hair down, and she may have to put some. I want to make sure I say this the right way. She's gonna have to. She's gonna have to get wider in some places to play Wonder Woman. I'm just glad that the rumors were not correct and Beyonce did not get the role as Wonder Woman.
What?
Yeah, a lot of rumors that Beyonce had auditioned for the role and they were leaning toward giving it to her. Now, I know Wonder Woman had curves, but no Beyonce. Bob, I wouldn't have bought that.
Man, I don't need my Wonder Woman calling everybody sugar.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, like Foxy Cleopatra, that was the worst thing.
Where's Booney, man? We need a lot of time to talk about them.
I'm checking on him now. I'm getting text messages from a lot of people because, again, people can't believe that we're spotlighting tonight. And I'm checking on his location. That's all you got for me, man? I thought you were going to ask me about Derrick Rose and them knees.
I can't even get into that, man. It's just ridiculous.
I feel for the brother, man. But, you know, that normally happens where you get an athlete that has, you know, structural damage to one knee, and, you know, they spend so much time rehabbing that knee that they don't really pay too much attention to the other one.
Derrick Rose, man, that joker must be messing with them big girls.
Oh. Was not expecting that one.
Joker keep tearing his meniscus, bro. He messing with them big girls.
I don't even know how to respond to that. Oh, my God.
Shout out to the big girls.
I wasn't going to say that. Shout out to all of our friends in Neillsville. I know S9Z had a private affair last month. Micah Chevalier is going to be at Blues Alley. Or actually, she was at Blues Alley a week ago. And I know we got a lot of Christmas events coming up. So if there's any Christmas songs, Christmas albums, Christmas events, shoot us an email at theneedlesoulshow@gmail.com. Let us know what you got going on so we can let everybody else know what's going on.
Because
I'm trying to see a Christmas show this year, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man.
The woman's name is Gal Gadot.
Yeah, we said that like 15 minutes ago. Terry Tobin put that in the chat room.
Hey, man, I'm slow, all right?
I see some things haven't changed. So do me a favor, and, you know, we talked about the last show. The last show that was done, it was a while ago, but like I said earlier, and I'll say again now because she's in the chat room, big shout-out to Terry Tobin for stepping in for me when I was away scouting talent and losing my freaking mind and my ethnicity at that Macklemore concert. Real quickly, how was the show with Carissa, the violin diva? Because I heard there was a lot of interesting things you guys talked about, and the foundation that she's a part of, and, you know, artists with AIDS and things like that. Not that she has AIDS, but to rephrase that. But how was all of that?
Oh, we had a great show, man. She was very informative. She was fun. She had a lot to talk about. We had a good time. We had a really good show. It was really good.
So, I do plan on replaying the show. Cause like I said, I caught the end of it, and I got a lot of. See, Q always feels like when I'm away, people are watching. Nobody was watching, but I got a lot of feedback from listeners that it was a really, really good show, and they weren't saying it like, "Oh, dude, you wasn't there. We was expecting trash." They said it like. that was just a really, really good show. And I think they were, it was like, I got a lot. Yo, it was cool. It was cool hearing Terry on the show. It was cool with Terry hosting. You guys should do that more often. Like, see if you can get past guests come host the show. Like, you can get artists to host the show. And I was like, all right, cool. That's something we'll look into. So that's what we'll do. Now, he's on the line, Q. You just asked for him. He is on the line.
All
now,
right.
Are we bringing him on to talk about anything in particular, or are we just jumping right into it? Because I kind of wanted to play some music first, because, you know, we have a lot of songs. I wanted to get a couple of the really, really well-known songs. I don't want to use the phrase out the way, because if it was up to me, I have so much respect for Mike, I would just play all of these songs and make Mike wait.
See, Mitch, we can't play any songs. I want to hear all the good info he's going to give us.
Okay, so then, ladies and gentlemen, like we, well, I know this is not third Wednesday, but like we said, we all, you know, when holiday seasons come around, you got to be adaptable. You got to be able to move and bounce and shake and roll with the punches. So this is the day that worked out best for the three of us, so we can just say that it's three the hard way Wednesday. And we're going to bring you guys the Wednesday Rewind, and arguably my favorite Wednesday Rewind, because as I stated, there is no generational gap. You all know this group, period. Everyone, you know it, you love the song, you sing it in the shower, you might add words that are not actually the lyrics, but you still sing the song, and we give you kudos for that. So, without further ado, the Chancellor of Soul is here, like he is every Wednesday when we do the Wednesday Rewind. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Mike Boone.
Booney!
Fellas, how y'all doing this evening?
What's going on, man?
Everything is lovely.
Good. First of all, before we get started, I want to apologize to you guys and the listeners for that little emergency that I had, you know, last one. We couldn't do the third Wednesday. You know, it's something that came up, you know, emergency, and something that just couldn't be helped. So I want to apologize to you guys and the listeners out there for last month's, you know, emergency. So I just want to get that, you know.
No problem. Quick question before you get started.
Yes.
T. Mitch said that the three of us are three the hard way. So if that was the case, which person would you be?
Me? Let's see, Jim Kelly. I love Jim Kelly. I'm a Jim Kelly fanatic.
Okay. We're not going to talk about this now. We're not
going to
talk about this now. But just know, I'm going to have to send you the picture of me and him together, Booney.
Oh, okay. I love to see it.
I met him 2 years ago.
Wow.
That was my hero, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, man. He was the hero of the neighborhood when first time, well, of course, with Enter the Dragon, you know, he became international star, but we saw him in the movie Melinda, and everybody was wondering, who was that guy that was doing all those kicks and whatever, you know, and of course the girls, they love him because of his good looks as well, you know. So, yeah, he was definitely the hero, and then, you know, what it was is that he was really a hero in the Afro-American community 40 years ago, because, I mean, there was really no black guys out there that was doing well. They probably was, but Jim was out there. He was the one that was seen the most in most of the movies that we looked up to, you know. And so Jim was a hero, you know, and he's definitely going to be missed, you know.
Okay, we're going to do a show on that, T. Mitch, just so you know. But you know what? That's another time.
That it is. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, as Q Man continues to stall and take time away, we are live with the Chancellor of Soul, and tonight on the Wednesday Rewind, we are spotlighting the iconic, groundbreaking, legendary Jackson 5.
Yes. Yes. Another group of people that were heroes to our community. It's no question, well, everybody's community, just about. But they were the ones that we really, really, really looked up to, because, you know, after the Beatles, you know, not to play a race card here, but when Kennedy was assassinated, you know, a couple of months later, the Beatles came here in 64, and they took the world by storm. They changed pop culture, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. And then about 6-7 years later, well, actually about, I would say maybe 4-5 years later, here's this group of guys, young guys, good-looking guys from Gary, Indiana, that also took the world by storm, you know, and they were African-American. And we had our own, they were like our own Beatles, you know, when they first came out. And they, I mean, it was just, they just shocked the world, you know. And when I first saw them, the first time I saw them, I saw the marquee at the Apollo in the late 60s when they did a show with Sam and Dave in the Unifix. And this is the first time, well, it's like the second or third time at the Apollo because they had one amateur night there. And they were competing against, well, they won the show with the Five Stair Steps. So, you know, there was a, well, Clarence, you know, Clarence Burke, rest in peace, you know. But there was a rivalry between the Five Stair Steps and the Jackson 5 because the Jackson 5, you know, kind of outshined them, you know, and just kind of stepped over them or whatever, you know, which both groups, and I love the Stair Steps. I am a fanatic of the Stair Steps. When the J5 came, man, it was no stopping them. So, yeah, you know, and then when I saw them on the Hollywood Palace when Diana Ross had hosted the show with Sammy Davis Jr., we saw these guys like, whoa, man, you know, and the song, I Want You Back, Forget About It. That was one of the funkiest songs that, you know, came out at that time because that's when we had Sly and the Family Stone, you know, and, of course, Jimi Hendrix, you know, and they was doing the psych soul thing. So Motown, of course, got into the act, you know, a year before with Cloud Nine with the Temptations, so they decided to follow through. And Berry Gordy got these group of guys called, you know, the Corporation when Holland Dozier Holland was suing Motown. You know, he got a slew of people to come up with some, you know, some songs for this new group that he signed, you know. And one of the Corporation guys was Willie Hutch, who did the soundtrack for the Mac. He was a singer of himself, you know, himself, and he did the soundtrack for the Mac. So, yeah, it's quite a history with these guys. You know, they were the ones, they were, like you said earlier, they were iconic. They had really quelled the riots in the 60s because we finally had somebody that looked like us and that can adapt to everybody, black, white, you know, Hispanic, Asian. It made no difference with this group. Everybody loved the J5, you know, even our parents, you know, because, you know, they were young and they weren't adult. We had adult people we looked up to, but not really a kid group like this. And they were like our Beatles. They took the world by storm. I hate to keep throwing the Beatles in there, but they took the world by storm. There's no question about it.
Now, thank you. I asked that question. You know you want to find something out.
There's a whole bunch of stuff. Like, in terms of talent, did they all have talent, or was all of them, were they all kind of hanging off Michael?
I believe each one did have a talent. I think every individual in that group had a talent. Randy was a good percussionist. Tito was a good guitarist. Jermaine was a good bassist and singer. Michael, of course, well, we could be here all night talking about Michael. Michael was, forget it, you know, I mean. And Marlon, of course, was, you know, a great dancer. You know, he became one of, you know, a great dancer. So, yeah, each individual's, each one of them were very talented, I believe, in their own way. Oh, I left out Jackie. Jackie was a good singer as well. So, you know, yes, I think individually they were great. You know, they had them, but just that Michael just was the leader. He was the breadwinner, he was the leader, and that was that, you know. Until they made Jermaine a sex symbol about maybe a couple of years later.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were, I love the way to interact between Michael and Jermaine when they played off each other in the early songs, you know, with the Love You Save and, you know, I Want You Back, and, you know, it was like the switch leadoffs, they called it, you know, and Michael was singing, Jermaine would come in, and, you know, I love the interplay between the two of them. Yeah. So, it's like, to answer your question, yeah, to me, individually, they were very talented.
Okay.
T. Mitch, I know you have questions as well. kind of
There's been so many movies and so many. I think the question that I have, I know we talked about the rivalry when we spotlighted the five stair steps.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question. I know that there was an original group, like they didn't just start as the Jackson Five. Like I know there was a group before that. I think of three of the brothers.
Mm-hmm, right. Yeah, it was the older ones. It was Tito, Jermaine, and Jackie. And
okay,
then Marlon.
So I think,
yeah, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. No, I was saying that Marlon came.
I was gonna ask how did it grow from just three to the two?
Marlon came in, and you know, with Joe Jackson, you know, grooming him, and well, not to say physically grooming him. You know, Marlon came in, and then Michael came a little bit. You know, he didn't lead. You know, he was more like on the sidelines at that time. They didn't know that Michael had the talent that he had you know in him. So it was really three, four of them. It was really three of them actually. You know. Then came Marlon, and then came Michael.
Wow.
Right. I have a lot of friends. You know, my age demographic doesn't, like, they don't get that part. That this wasn't just, oh, I got a lot of kids that's talented, I'm going to throw them all together. Like, there was a plan first. There were three, and then as the others grew up, they were able to join the group.
Right. Well, Michael was discovered, well, of course, there was a movie done by them like 22 years ago that the Jacksons produced with Joe and everything, you know, the Jacksons' American Dream.
Right.
Basically, everything was true because they produced it. And, of course, without Mr. Jackson talking about Michael overseeing the script, that, you know, that TV show wouldn't have been made because they had to send the script to him at the time. And to make corrections or whatever, to agree with the story, it took Michael took some time with it, you know, to read the script. So then he agreed to it and signed the agreement, of course, and they filmed the movie. And then the movie, you know, Michael sings at a talent show, you know, Climb Every Mountain, you know, from The Sound of Music. So that's when they discovered this boy can sing. You know, I mean, this little boy can sing. He can wobble. You know what I mean? So, and after that, it was no turning back from there. You know, and then we said Joe was grooming him, and he had him in bars. He had him, you know, where they had school the next day. He had him in strip joints. You know, anywhere they can just get, you know, attention and notice, shopping malls, everywhere. Joe had them everywhere. You know, any place they can, you know, be on. Which led them up to the talent shows at the Regal in Chicago in 67, 68, where they appeared with Jackie Wilson and Linda Jones and people like that, you know, who earned the bill. You know, that's where their success began. Because they kept winning. You know, and they was doing Joe Tex songs. Of course, James Brown. And who was Michael's idol. And it just went from there, you know. And then it got discovered in 68 by Bobby Taylor, who was with the group Bobby Taylor and the Vancouvers, who was signed to Motown. He had a song called Does Your Mama Know About Me? And Bobby Taylor, you know, actually it was Gladys Knight who tried to call Motown. They paid her no mind. Then Bobby saw them on there. He said, man, I'm taking you guys to Detroit. And so when they couldn't get Barry's attention, then he made this homemade movie. This is the famous one that you probably see on YouTube. You've seen in all the TV shows that was produced by the, you know, by the Jacksons or stories on the Jackson, where this grainy film of Michael doing James Brown, you know, at the age of 10. Well, he was supposed to have been 8 at the time, publicity-wise, and they made him younger. But he was really 10 years old, you know. And he's doing James Brown, and they're performing. Bobby Taylor is the one responsible for that grainy black and white film that you see them do, you know, various songs, you know, to audition for Motown.
Wow.
And it took him to fly that, you know, to Barry. I think it was Barry's niece, Iris Gordy. She was the one that got the film to Barry. because Barry didn't want to really deal with any kid acts. He already was dealing with Stevie Wonder. And, you know, they couldn't overwork because of the child labor laws, you know, the Jackie Cooper
right.
labor laws, you know. So from there on, Barry loved him, and the rest is history.
Wow.
There you go, Q. That was the tidbit you were looking for.
You know it was.
That's that part that most people don't know.
Wow.
That was it right there. Wow.
Now, I could listen to the Chancellor go all day, but T. Mitch is determined to play a Jackson 5 song. I don't know why.
I feel like it brings it all together. Like, when we hear those hidden gems and those tidbits of information that the Chancellor gives us, and then you play that song that he says, like, when he says, like, I want you back, there was no sound like that, that was the funky song, and then we say, okay, we're going to play it, it take everybody back to that moment, the first time they heard the song. It goes hand in hand. It's a beautiful thing. So this is what we're going to do. And we normally don't do this because humans start, like, griping and complaining when we do it. I'm playing four songs.
Oh, come on.
I'm playing four songs. And we're going to come back. And we got some more questions. If you have any questions in the chat room, give them to us in the chat room. Hit us on Twitter at the Neo Soul Show. If you have any questions, we'll give you some time to come up with your questions. And we are going to play tidbits of I Want You Back, Who's Loving You, ABC, and The Love You Save. The Neo Soul Show. We'll be right back, no matter what the Q-Man says. that didn't hurt you. That didn't hurt one bit. Four classic songs from the Jackson 5. We are back. It's in the Old Soul Show. I go by the name T Mitch. He's the Q Man. We are joined by the Chancellor of Soul, Mike Bone. If you just joined us, Wednesday Rewind, and we are spotlighting the Jackson 5.
Yeah. Great classic there. You know, I mean, this, everything they touched was gold. You know, especially with the starting with I Want You Back. And, oh, man. You know, and then when they, you know, and after that was, Who's Loving You? B-side of that. You know, that's was written by Smokey Robinson, of course, and they recorded that back in 61. And kind of overrode Smokey there. You know what I mean? And everybody's saying that's like the best recorded version of that song. You know, which mm-hmm. I happen to agree, but I do like the original. I do like Smokey's version and the Miracles, but Michael, he's just, you know, he just took over the song, basically. He really stole the song from Smokey, you know what I mean? But some people agree or might disagree, you know. And, of course, ABC, that was like a flow, you know, from I Want You Back to ABC. That was like a flow. If you listen to the music very carefully, that was a flow. You know, they just took, the music just kept going, you know, and of course they had to make the lyrics elementary because the J5 were kids. Well, two of them were kids, and three of the guys, of course, were near grown, but they were a kiddie act, you know, at the time. So, and Love You Save, another flow. Music, same thing, you know. And this is like making history because now we enter the 70s, and this is the West Coast funk type brothers. Goodbye, we mentioned it because the Funk Brothers were the East Coast guys, one of the greatest session players that ever on earth. These are the West Coast players because this time Berry Cordy had relocated to Los Angeles because that's where he wanted to make movies and things. So the J5 had to pack up and leave and go to Los Angeles, you know. And some of the brothers stayed with Berry, and of course Michael stayed with Diana Ross, you know, and to groom them. So, yeah.
Boone.
I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Was she messing with him?
With Michael?
Yes.
You mean as when Michael was grown, of course. Right? You're talking about that, right? You mean like around the late 70s, 80s or whatever?
Yeah.
No, I don't believe that. I believe Michael had a fascination with Diana Ross. He always did as a kid. He was infatuated by her. You know, I think Diana was kind of like the big sister to Michael. I don't think it was any hanky-panky. You never know. You never know. Maybe a new book coming out where they probably, you know, would say, yeah, there was some kind of, you know, some insider in Motown would say, yeah, there was some, you know, little Pat here and Pat there. But I don't really believe that. I just believe Diana Ross was like a big sister, and she just took them as brothers and family and just groomed them, helped, you know, shape them. And, of course, the Diana Ross album, their first album, Diana Ross Presents the Jackson 5, of course, you know, they had to use that for publicity because Diana Ross was like the biggest star in the world at that time, the Supremes. And this was, she was getting ready to exit out of Supremes, you know, for the Supremes to go solo. So Berry was grooming her to become this actress that she wanted to become, and which she became, actually, you know. So it was all about basically Diana, but then at the same time, he had these brothers, you know. And so he told the corporation, I want nothing but number one cuts from these guys. You know, you write some songs for that have, you know, be tailor-made for them. And by the way, I Want You Back was originally written for Gladys Knight and the Pips. They were supposed to have been the ones to record that. It was for them.
Wow.
Barry said, well, I just signed these brothers, so why don't you you know, tailor the song around them. So they had to change the lyrics, you know, to make it kind of sort of elementary, but not elementary. You know, and of course, the baby, oh, baby, give me one more chance, Berry added his lyric to that and said, you know, this guy's got to be, he's sorry for what he's did. You know, he wants her back. So why don't you just let him chant, oh, baby, give me one more chance, you know. Because Berry Gordy was a songwriter. A lot of people don't know he was a songwriter. He was a great songwriter because he wrote for Jackie Wilson. You know, so you know, he added to the corporation some of his ideas, and that's how these songs were born. You know, And, of course, The Love You Save, I love, you know, the play and lyrics. When they said, Isaac said he kissed you beneath the apple tree. He was talking about Sir Isaac Newton, of course. When Benji held your hand, he felt electricity, Benjamin Franklin. When Alexander called you, he said he rang his chimes, Alexander Graham Bell. Christopher discovered you're way ahead of your time, that's Christopher Columbus. So they was using their first names as boys that this fast girl was, you know, chasing. But a lot of people didn't know, you know, the interplay with the lyrics.
Wow.
Q, I'm betting you didn't even catch that.
No, not at all.
I love it.
Wow. Get me every
time. You got a question, Q? I got a question before we jump into the rest of the songs.
No, go for it, man.
Okay. So we played a lot of the songs from the, you know, the younger installment of the group. Mm-hmm. So as they get older, Michael really starts, you know, coming into his own. He hasn't broken off into the stratosphere yet.
Right.
But he's beginning to really come into his own. How would you say that the music changed from, you know, the first album where it's Diana Ross is, you know, introducing them and kind of giving them the stage to the full-fledged Jackson 5 that we would see as, like, older teenagers?
Well, of course, you know, when they started, Michael was little, Marlon was little, Jermaine was a teen, Jackie was coming, he was, like, in his late teens, and so was Tito. So as the time progressed, you know, they wanted more. They didn't want to be just classified as, you know, a kiddie act. They were growing up, you know, and, of course, they had to search for material that, you know, suited them, not only suited them, but that was adults, so adults can accept them. You know, it's basically a market ploy, too. I would say, yeah, the music did change. It had to change. They had to go from I Want You Back to Dancing Machine. Of course, Michael was getting big. He was growing. And his voice was changing. So they had to get material that was suited for Michael's voice, like Dancing Machine, Get It Together. That's when we really discovered Michael's voice changed. Because the first time I heard Get It Together, I said, wait a minute, this kid's voice is really, you know, he's changed, you know, it's maturing. And because the year before he had got, 2 years before he had Got to Be There, he had did his first solo album, which is a masterpiece. I advise everybody, if they don't have it, get it on CD. Of course, that and Ben, you know, from the movie Ben, up to 1973, that's when Michael was starting to grow. As you saw physically, he was starting to grow just as tall as Jackie, you know. If you look at some of the albums, Michael grew and his voice grew. So, yeah, they had to get songwriters like Hal Davis and guys like that, Clifton Davis, who wrote Never Could Say Goodbye. That's the same guy that was in Amen. That's My Mama. And, you know, stuff like material to mature material and mature lyrics, you know, to grow with them. So, yeah, of course they had different musicians, you know, to play with them. You know, the great James Gaston on drums. It's so many, you know. So, yeah, they had to get material suited for their growth, so to speak.
Okay. All right, Q, look, wow. we got less than 8 minutes left on the show, and I am not going to be crucified for not playing two of these songs that we have left. So I need to jump back into the music real quick. We'll come right back. I know you got a question that you want to ask Mike Bone before we get out of here. So I'm just taking over real quick. I'm not even going to say the two songs. I'm just going to play the two songs. You're going to know them when you hear them. Send me on social. We'll be right back.
Where there is love, I'll be there.
IQ. Again, tameless, did not hurt, classic songs that everybody knows and loves. We are back to Neo Soul Show. Less than 5 minutes, we have Chancellor Soul Mike Boone. We've been spotlighting the Jackson 5. Q, go ahead. What do you want to know before we get out of here?
Whose decision was it for Mike to finally leave the group and go solo?
His. His. He wanted to do his own thing. And basically, he had so much music in his head, you know, he wanted to do his own thing, you know. He wanted to venture, you know. And every man's, you know, destiny is around the corner if you don't take that chance. So Michael, you know, wanted to move away from his brothers and do his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I mean, and that's what he got with infamous Quincy Jones. And the rest is history. I guess it's another show, too.
Yeah. Did the family want him to leave?
I'm sorry?
The rest of them. Did the rest of the group want... They didn't want him to go solo, did they?
Well, they didn't mind as long as he stayed in the group. But
mm-hmm.
I don't think they didn't know how Michael, like you said earlier, would go through the stratosphere like he did. You know, they figured, okay, Michael will make this solo, and then he'll be back with the group. But Michael was so talented. He was just, I mean... There's too many words to describe Michael Jackson. It's just, he just took off. After
mm-hmm.
Off the Wall, when they signed with Epic in 76 and they made the Jackson's records, like Enjoy Yourself and Going Places and stuff, Michael basically had music in his head. He wanted to get it out, and he wanted a top producer to produce him. And that's when he went and got Quincy Jones. Quincy was a little hesitant, but then he brought the keys down to Michael's voice and got, and Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, boom. And that's it. Mm. The rest is history. You know, and I want to mention also, during the Jackson 5 era, there was a new Afrocentric magazine that came out just for teens. It was called Right On Magazine. And the Jackson 5 mm-hmm. were the first featured, you know, the first group to be featured in the front cover. And, of course, the event, you know, the birth of Soul Train. So,
wow.
Throw that in, you know.
Always amazing, man.
Wow.
He's never disappointed.
Wow. Thank you.
Oh, man. Another fantastic show. I'm speechless, T-Rich.
Yeah, as always. I see Mike has that ability to just leave you with a nugget that just message, just stops your whole train of thought.
Yeah.
I definitely enjoyed this. I really, really, really enjoyed this one, and I'm like you, I'm not speechless, but I love the background information that, you know, even though the stuff we don't know, like who the songs were originally written for and who actually wrote them, like, for anybody else, those of us, you know, that watched Amen, like, to know these characters that are being mentioned as songwriters, like, this is just amazing. I love the music, absolutely love music to this day. I actually am going to go find that anthology album in my home somewhere, and I'm going to just play this music until I go to bed.
Yep, they were one of a kind, I tell you, one of my heroes, you know. And I'm glad I grew up in an era when they were out to really enjoy them, and like everybody else, hang their posters in the wall, in our walls and so forth, you know, along with Bernadette Stannis and all the rest of them. But, you know, the J5 was up there as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, another great show. Boone, you're the best, man. We appreciate you spending time with us again tonight, man.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure, man, hanging out with you guys, man. I love this show, and I love what we've done for the past near year, you know. So, absolutely.
It's been great, man. Well, we look forward to having you on again next month, man.
Yes, and that's right. Absolutely, and we won't be doing anything till next Monday. That's right. I just want to wish you guys, a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the listeners out there as well, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas. Please be safe on the holidays, you know, everybody. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening.
Thanks, Boone, and happy holidays to you, man.
Happy holidays to you too, Mike.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless everyone. And I'll see you next month.
Take care, Boone.
You too.
The Chancellor of Soul. All right, Q. So do what we do, man. Let's get out of there and get closer to Christmas.
Hey, another great show, man. We'll be back next week when we will try to do better for T. Mitch and myself and the rest of the X to the L family. Until then, take care, and we're out of here.
good night, everybody.